Welcome to
In It Together.
I'm Jay.
And I'm Courtney. And this is our podcast where we discuss mental health and self-improvement from a couple's perspective.
At it again, I guess.
Yes, I'm excited to be here today. This is going to be an interesting podcast for us.
Yeah, this is going to be a little different than we normally do. I think we want to talk about something we just saw yesterday, a couple days
ago. Yeah, we watched a documentary and we needed to talk about it. The Unknown Number, High School Catfish.
Yeah, so if you haven't heard it, it's a documentary on Netflix. It's about a situation where there's a high school catfish that really harassed a girl, a couple, right? For over a year.
Yeah, no, it was 18 months.
Yeah, so spoiler alert, I guess we're going to talk about what happens in the documentary.
Yeah,
if you haven't seen the documentary yet, it's called Unknown, hashtag High School Catfish. If you don't want to know about what happens,
I'm going to tell you now.
Yeah, just tune out now, go watch the documentary, come back and you can hear us kind of analyze it. You're going to just do a little bit
I'm going to do a little clinical analysis here just to kind of show you some themes that were popping up because it's a big conversation right now. I'm talking about it on Facebook and everything.
Yeah. So again, if you haven't watched it yet, this is going to be spoiler alert.
Time.
Yeah, this is spoiler alert. We're going to talk about what happens. So I think a lot of people, even if you haven't seen it, I think at this point it's around enough that people know what
it's all over TikTok. The people are crazy about it. And to be honest, I've had some people say, I don't want to watch that because my first bully was X, Y, and Z. So this might be good for those that just don't want to watch it. And it can give you all of the highlights. You're not FOMO missing out on things.
All right. So we give you the warning. If you're interested in watching the documentary and not knowing what the spoiler is or, you know, what the end is, the big outcome, now's your time to tune out. We're going to get into it. You've been warned.
Yeah.
Here we go.
So if you've seen it, so the perpetrator ends up being Kendra Licari, and she's Lauren's mom. This girl's mother was harassing her up to 50, 60, 70 messages a day, bullying her, commenting on her body, telling her she should end her life. I mean, it was terrible. And she's out there trying to find the person that did it, supporting her daughter, doing all of these things. And it comes down that it was her. And so one of the big questions I'm seeing on social media that we're talking about is why would anybody do this? And Kendra gives this reason that she had trauma at 17. She ends up seeing her daughter get close to the age she was. She ends up recreating that. And she talks about some type of a fragmented identity. And I wanted to talk a little bit about that.
We're going to try to keep this as clinical and professional as we can. I have very strong opinions about this situation, obviously.
And I think you should be able to share that. You know?
Yeah, as a parent, you know, I just, and I feel for the husband. We're going to talk about every aspect of this because as we were watching the documentary, you know, obviously at the end is when it's revealed that it's her mother that was the actual bully. And, you know, you see the husband kind of break down. And, you know, you felt for the husband at first. And I said, you know, he has some culpability in this. And I'm sorry, but if you're completely oblivious to what was happening in your home, because she was not only bullying her daughter.
She was bullying Owen, which was the boyfriend that she was dating.
But not
several
only that.
Several other friends.
Yeah, she was out of work for over a year and they didn't know. And no one knew that she was not working. She let the finances in the house go. They ended up losing their house, you know, so there was a lot of issues going on here.
Yeah, this is a very complex case, but you're right. You know, I was I feel bad for it, because people are coming for that dad and you're hey, you cannot, you know, look at him and not find culpability. So let's kind of we're going to get into that. And I definitely think you should share that because that's important, you know, being authentic as to what your reaction was, because it was mind blowing.
Yeah, so, you know, again, I'm not blaming him. Obviously, it's not his fault. I'm not saying that he was, but what I'm saying is accountability. And I think everyone needs to be accountable for their part, and him, again, not understanding the dynamics of what was going on in his household.
Well, he said something like, I thought she was handling it, which means that he was complacent and just her trying to figure out what was happening. And he was kind of like, okay, you know, this is what I'm doing. And accountability would look like I needed to be more involved. I needed to ask more questions.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was my point with him. Again, not to say that it was his fault, but in a familial unit like that, in any, there's enough fault to go around here. And I guess that's where I was going with him. In terms of her, like I said, like I can't even fathom doing what she did. And
there's as a you know, trauma counselor that works with people and, you know, all of these things. Yes, trauma happens. And that's one thing that she had said, that her trauma led to that. But as a parent and even as a clinician and stepping back from that, that's really, really hard to wrap your head around. I just don't understand how doing that somehow made sense to her. But I do have some clinical things that I wanted to discuss that I think might open up for more discussion.
All right, so let's get right into it, right? I know there's a lot of different aspects to this, and obviously we don't have all the information. We're just basically formulating our opinion based on what we've seen. There's also, you know, several sides to every story. So again, we're just analyzing from what we have seen and what we know of the case. So why don't you go ahead and, you know, do what you do with your clients.
All right, I'm going to pretend that this came in on a questionnaire, right? And I'm doing an assessment and we're talking here and figuring things out. When Kendra was talking about, I think the producer asked her, like, where did this come from? She started to talk about her trauma and how she just got lost in this identity. So I kind of want to move around a little bit, but there's something called identity fragmentation. And people that have unprocessed trauma that aren't consciously aware or working through it can sometimes find themselves struggling with who they are as a person. So they kind of detach from that. And it's, you know, this phenomenon that can happen sometimes where they can create these fake personalities, right? So she creates this fake personality online, which helps relieve the shame of her own unprocessed stuff that's coming up. So she gets to experiment with some type of an identity that she never got to experience, right? So she talks about the assault that she had and things that she had gone through. So it's almost like it was her turn now to be the bully. It was her turn now to step into this persona because she had this fragmented sense of self. And the reason why I kind of pulled that from that was she literally said that in a sentence, which leads me to believe she has met with a clinical professional maybe one or two times when she was incarcerated to try to help her understand where this came from. So I'm not sure she actually believes that, or if that was something that was determined in her psychological assessment that would happen in the Department of Corrections when you are, you know, imprisoned or what have you. So a fragmented sense of self or identity fragmentation can happen, you know, not all the time, but it is known to happen.
Yeah, that makes sense to me from, again, I'm going to be the layman here and just kind of give my opinion. Obviously, you have the clinical background. I do not. So I'm just going to assess everything from that, from the layman perspective, right? So what you just said, I think, to me, logically makes the most sense, right? She had these assaults, and somehow subconsciously she was reliving, you know, that she had gone through for herself. So it was more about how she felt about herself opposed to, you know, directing it towards her daughter. The issue, though, becomes when she's basically said that, that this is stemmed from those traumatic events. And somehow she wanted to protect her daughter from something that she had, you know, experienced herself, which to me made no sense, because how do you protect your daughter by actually victimizing her and doing the things that she was doing? So
I'm so glad that you summarized that perfectly, and it leads me to my next point. So beautifully done. The catfish identity. Where does this even come from? Why would she somehow use this as an excuse? So it was her, I guess, way of coping, and she alleged a way to control Lauren's relational world and what was happening. But do I think there was evil intent? I don't know, but I question whether she had this fear of separation from Lauren, because you notice there's this enmeshment with them. There's this level of codependency where even Lauren is unable to, in a healthy way, truly see how harmful and damaging her mother's behavior was towards her. She just kind of wants to put it in the back of her mind and move forward because she needs her mother, right? And so I'm wondering if Kendra's process with this was, Lauren gets hurt. She never did anything like this to Lauren in the past. She had this alleged great relationship. Lauren was the light of her life. They did everything together. And all of a sudden, Lauren's occupied. She's got a boyfriend now. She's doing all these things. So maybe it was her own mother's, you know, codependency and fear of separation, of losing her daughter, that the only thing that she could think of was to put her daughter in this very harmful place so that she could provide this hero complex of mommy's here for you and then not lose her. But then that theory kind of goes out the window a little bit, which you'll probably talk about, because I don't understand why she would go after Owen's new girlfriend unless that was just a way to try to, I don't know, provide some type of detour or something. What do you think?
Well, first of all, I'm gonna have to not agree with the statement that she had this great relationship with her daughter before. We don't know that to be a fact. You know, I know they kind of touch upon it a little bit, but we don't know what the relationship was before all this happened. I think the catalyst here for her in particular was, you know, she lost her job. That's something, you know, that had happened. She'd been struggling with the loss of that, and that, you know, for a lot of people, like, our jobs are identity, right? So we spend more time at our jobs than with the family, than at home, you know. So a lot of our identity kind of stems from that, right? It's something that we do every day. We're involved in it every day, and when you take that out, you know, and then so Lauren coming of age, coupled with the with those losses, I think it just made the perfect storm for her to be where she was. I think what I want to do is push back on the assumption that they had a great relationship. I think maybe, from what I can see, is they may have had a good relationship, but was it a healthy relationship? And that's mm-hmm. the question we need to pose, because we can see from the documentary that it has obviously gone into the toxic relationship.
Clearly unhealthy.
Yeah, even after everything is found out, you can see that Lauren still yearns for the connection with her mother. And at this point, it is a toxic relationship. We'll talk about that a little bit more.
Well, I mean, maybe that brings to the point that there wasn't any boundaries. You know, like you said, dad has no idea what's going on. Mom's running the roost. You know, Lauren's just kind of living the life that she's living. Because I'm sitting here thinking, if I did that to my kids would cut me off. You want to know why? Because we talk about healthy boundaries all the time. We talk about, doesn't matter if it's your friends, your family, the Pope, you know, you put boundaries in place. I feel like my kids would cut me off. They would, because they're healthy, because we have a healthy relationship. I mean, I want to do that anyways, but I'm just sitting here like, what could be happening? Which leads me to,
well, just my issue, obviously, with the situation. I don't fault Lauren. Again, she's a child. She doesn't understand what's going on. Her, you know, yearning to have that connection with her mother is completely normal.
Yeah.
But as the parent, understanding what I've done, I would have to try to explain that to my daughter, that, hey, you know, mom, dad, we need help right now. You know, what we did isn't okay. And because we'll talk about this again, is like, this establishes, you know, the relationship for her moving forward. Like, how is Lauren going to connect with individuals in her future?
And not only that, this is traumatic. This is psychological abuse. This is psychological harm. And if she doesn't see it as being a problem, what happens? Lauren has a family 10, 15 years down the road. Her kid ends up turning, because Lauren was 15 around this time. Her kid ends up turning around that age. And then what, does the cycle repeat? Because it's the same thing, unprocessed, unconscious trauma.
Yeah, absolutely. And what they don't touch upon, and this, I believe that this is part of it, right, is the Munchausen by proxy, you know, syndrome. And I think a part of it is that, right? She became her bully so she could get Lauren to connect with her more, right?
Yeah, the it's a protect destroy paradox.
So which brings me to that point, right? And that's kind of where I'm thinking that they didn't have as good a relationship as they're claiming, right? Because if they had a closeness, if they had a real connection, you know, to begin with, why would the mother need to create this environment where she was bullying her daughter for her daughter to come and connect with her?
Which is why I think the unconscious trauma kind of coming up could explain something, right? So sometimes there's something called unconscious reenactment, right? And unconscious reenactment can happen when we don't know, where we're projecting, you know, our cellular memory into our current environment. So, you know, maybe she placed Lauren in the same situation so she could project her old wound and then master that wound. Like, I can overcome that. You know, like, she made it more about herself. You know, getting lost up to 8 hours a day, bullying your own child and other people and other kids, then finding yourself trying to be out there to find who the person was. I mean, there was a level of delusion there that I just, that leads me to say that there's clearly mental health factors. And people on Facebook are like, oh, it's not mental health, she's just evil. No, there are mental health factors there. We can, you know, look at the fact that, yes, there was projection of self-hatred and other things that are going on, you know, at the end of the day. But a personality disorder can sometimes lay dormant for a period of time until there's some type of a trigger. There was a lot going on there. And I feel like this segues into, you know, what about the theory that she was secretly obsessed with Owen herself? What are your thoughts on that?
No, that was definitely something that I keyed in on. Obviously, towards the end, when Owen is talking and saying how she was, you know, like going out of her way to serve him and to check in on him. So there was obviously, I shouldn't say obviously because it's assumptuous, but there was clearly some infatuation. And I think that leads to the same thing, right? So this puts her back into the space she was when she was 15. There was probably some infatuation with a younger kid.
Age of onset.
Yeah. So that's, you know, and you've talked about this several times, right? All you need is like 3 points of similarity, from the past trauma to put you into that place. So I think everything that happened, right, from the loss of her job to seeing her daughter with this new boyfriend and having these, you know, feelings for the boyfriend, for the young kid. So I think there was just a lot of things going on that were probably cycling for her. And there was some underlying mental health issue. And all she needed was that, you know.
It was just a match lit. And yeah, then
exactly. And then the powder keg blew up.
Yeah, I mean, age of onset could have happened because if she's around 17 when this assault happens, for her daughter's 15, she's in a relationship. We don't know if the person that did this to her, she was in a relationship with. And so sometimes what we see, and this is a tough conversation. Sometimes we can mentally stop growing at the age of a very, very bad trauma, right? Age of onset. And it's possible that she was just acting like a hurt 17-year-old. When you look at it from that perspective, instead of a 40-something-year-old mother, you could easily see an unhealed, immature 17-year-old sending those text messages, down to abbreviations, down to how the messages were sent. It really felt like a kid was doing that. It really felt like a young, unhealed adult was having that conversation, you know? And so that's something to really look into. Like, I'm sure people are listening right now, be like, oh my God, if they don't have kids, they're probably like, do I have trauma? What do I need to do? Like, think about the panic that this could incite in a lot of people. But if anything, this can shine a light on, this is why it's important to grow as a human being. This is why it's important to address the crap that happened to you. It doesn't matter that you got through it. Go feel through it. It doesn't matter that it happened 20 years ago. Stuff like this can happen.
Absolutely. And that's the, you know, we have to shine the light on that, because this could happen to anyone. And again, this is a horrific situation. Obviously, I'm not going to discount or in any way absolve this woman from the things she did. I don't think she's evil. I think she's a person that's dealing with mental illness and unresolved trauma that materialized in this awful, awful event. And not only she hurt herself, she hurt her family, she hurt her daughter. I'm hoping that she gets the help she needs, that Lauren gets the help she needs, that her husband gets the help. That this is going to be, you know, this is a ripple effect that's going to go through everyone, and everyone needs to seek some support. And if anything, if we can learn anything from this particular case, is exactly what you said, right? We need to be able to identify our traumas and work through them, because you're lying to yourself if you think that unresolved trauma is gone and past and it's over with. It's going to resurface in your body, in your life, if you don't address these traumas.
And I just want to end like on this and just say this, right? You have, if I had 10 people sitting in front of me and I do an assessment on 10 of them to work with them, 7 to 8 will say, I had a really good childhood. I'm just like really struggling in life. And or I had a really good young adulthood, or, you know, this has just started for me. I mean, I don't know what's wrong. I'm fine. They don't realize when you sit down and they start to tell you these stories that they perceive to be normal, and they see the look on my face like, whoa, it's in those moments that they're like, that's not normal, right? Like, I wouldn't say it's not normal, but it's definitely not healthy. So it's crazy how much our brains can lie to us, because they just, our brain just wants us to be safe. And not even safe. Our brain wants us to be comfortable at all times. How can I make this person comfortable? And so if it's uncomfortable, your brain's going to pull you away from it. But your brain lies to you all the time. Your body will never lie to you, but your brain lies to you daily.
Yeah. And because our traumas happen at an early age, it's easier as an adult when your brain is much more mature to deal with traumas. But when you're younger, you know, young adult, child, you're still developing, and these traumas happen, it alters, you know, how you think, how your body responds, and you don't know any better at that age. You know what I mean? You understand? You have no
frame of reference.
Exactly. You haven't experienced the world and understand it. It normalizes for you, right? So if you're a child, even though you might know that it was wrong, your body still normalized that event because it doesn't know any better. So it just thinks that that's the way it's supposed to be.
This was just meant to be, and I had to grow through it. Like, no, it doesn't mean it was meant to be. Yes, you had to grow through it, but it's not okay, you know? And for me, I don't, you know, as a trauma counselor, I look at things from a different perspective. You know, I have to have empathy and compassion, and I look at these things, and for me right now, my focus is Lauren, because she's the one that is growing and learning. She is part of this generation that's coming up. That's where the care needs to be. That's where the focus needs to be. So I know everybody is really disgusted in Kendra Licari's behavior. Totally understand that. I think we need to focus on, you know, Lauren, and we need to focus on how to move forward with that and how to help her and how to get that message out. And maybe she listens to this. Maybe Lauren stumbles upon this. I'm going to do a video on it, listens to it, and she can find that within herself. Because I think sometimes people feel, or teens feel, that they can't be mad at their parents and love them at the same time, that they can't be loyal to their parents while having such conflicting emotions. And two things can be true. Lauren can love her mother and hold her extremely accountable for the harm that she caused her, and she can live there and she can learn that. And I feel like if people love Lauren, her father, her family, that is where real growth is going to happen for her, is helping her occupy the space to love her mother and the space to hold her accountable in the same breath.
Definitely right on with that. And we got to understand that obviously broken people make broken people, and we have to, as a community, we need to see these things for what they are, you know. And Kendra was a broken person. And, you know, I hope she seeks the help she needs and holds herself accountable so she can teach that accountability to Lauren. And that's the best hope that we can have.
The best apology would be, I need to step out of your life because I've got a lot of healing to do. And because I love you, I am not going to allow you to stay connected to the pain. I'm setting you free because I love you, because I'm your mother, and because I was wrong. And in that point, that's when real healing can take place.
Absolutely. I couldn't have said that better. You know, again, so my heart goes out to the family, obviously. I hope they all get the help they need. I hope you guys were able to get something out of like our little discussion. And if you guys like this format, just having us talk about like current events and stuff, I think we want to try to incorporate
Absolutely.
That more. So hopefully we'll start doing more of that.
So guys, if you aren't following me already, you can find me on TikTok at ask.courtney, on Instagram at ask.courtney_, and on YouTube at ask.courtney. And if you'd like to be a guest on a future podcast, you can reach us at podcast@epiphanymedia.com.
We'd love to hear your stories, guys, so make sure to reach out. And as always, we're all in this together, so stay safe.
Remember, there's no shame in asking for help.
Till next time.